folks, it's time for Democratic Perspective, brought to you by the Verde Valley Independent Democrats, a weekly talk show about the crucial political issues facing the Verde Valley, Sedona, Northern Arizona, and the nation at large. Join us for a stimulating, thought-provoking discussion. You'll get the facts as we focus on the challenges facing everyone. Folks, Steve Williamson here, sitting across from you like a lot of people.
That's right.
Mike, who are all these people here?
These are politically hot folks here. We are hot under the collar.
You should pronounce Klaus's name because he beats up on me when I mispronounce it.
I do enjoy pronouncing Klaus's name. That's Klaus von Stutenheim.
No.
Wrong again.
That's even worse than my pronunciation of it.
It's Klaus von Stutterheim.
Von Stutterheim.
You guys will never get that right.
All right. And we also have Steve Segner, who's a friend of the show. And after the show, we're going over to El Portal and have breakfast. And we have coming down all the way from Flagstaff, candidate Art Babbitt, who's running as an independent for what office, Art?
Legislative District 6 of the Arizona Legislature. I'm running for the House of Representatives.
Okay, and there are two House of Representatives for each district, right? Two representatives. And the Democrats have somebody running, and you're running as an independent. And are the Republicans running people, too?
Republicans currently who pulled papers. So right now there are four of us in for two seats. Everyone gets two votes in that particular race, unlike the Senate, where it's one vote per voter in the district. And this district is a huge district, all from Jerome down to the Verde Valley, all through Clarkdale, Cottonwood, Sedona, Cornville, up to Flag, over to Holbrook, down to Payson, Taylor, Snowflake, to Lake Roosevelt. It's a big, big, big district.
What do you bring to the campaign? What are your central campaign issues, Art? Mm-hmm.
So
Steve's a big supporter of you, I think.
Yes.
Yeah. And so the two of you, tell us about your campaign and what you stand for and why people should vote for you.
So, you know, I want to start by saying what my fundamental belief in the role of government is. I believe that one of the primary fundamental roles of government is to make sure that those with money, power, and influence do not play by a different set of rules than those of us who do not have money, power, influence.
Have you been to the United States lately? Yeah. That's exactly. You just described our government.
I'm with Mike. What country are you talking about?
Yeah, but go ahead.
So I want to just, as you talk about that, we have our challenges with that. Absolutely. But one of the things that I've learned in this race is I've actually had the privilege of reading the Arizona Constitution. The Constitution of the state of Arizona that was written, started in 1910 and adopted in 1912, was really clear about money, power, and political influence. It was written largely in response to the times where there was undue power and influence by some entities which needed right-sizing.
Like the railroads.
Railroads and mining wrote the laws, they bought the legislature, and they made those laws that serve their interests.
W.A. Clark, from Clark, who Clarkdale is named after, bought his Senate seat from Montana. Don't get me wrong, he was senator from Montana. But there's lots of good information out there that he paid $160,000 for a Senate seat. Now, even then, even guys he bribed voted to throw him out of the Senate. I mean, so this is the era that Art's talking about, that Arizona became a
that's
state.
Tough. And that's when you bribe guys and they want you thrown out.
Exactly. And well, that's how little they thought of it.
Yeah, Teddy Roosevelt called him the most corrupt senator America's ever produced.
Oh, really? Absolutely. Yes. That was a good thing. Don't forget, we used names like robber barons during that time. We had names like reform era. So the comparison between then, 1910-ish, when Arizona became a state, 1912 when it finally became a state, and now is incredible wealth disparity. You know, we had lots and lots of rich people, lots and lots of poor folks. This is a nice comparison.
So do you agree with that, Art? Do you agree with what Mike's saying largely? Or?
Well, so I think if you fast forward from after we adopted our Constitution, many of the conditions that that influenced that constitution are alive and well and thriving today. And that reality plays out in a variety of perspectives. We have undue power and political influence that certain utilities hold in this state, that certain folks around educational investments play. And we need to understand that to the best degree possible, one of our fundamental goals and objectives should be to create a playing field that has some level of equity to it, whether that's in our educational system, whether that is in our political system, whether that is in fiscal policy. I want to, talk about legislators who take money, dark money, corporate PAC money. I don't take either of those. And too often, people are viscerally aware of folks who are bought and paid for, and when someone says jump, they say how high. And I think that's one of the fundamental challenges in the Arizona State Legislature right now.
And for people who think that nothing can be done, we have the example of APS, and we've been after APS for years because of their secret donations. They got enough flack from all the different news organizations, from legislators and stuff, that they promised this year not to throw any black money into the race. We believe them, don't we,
Mike? Utility Arizona Public Service had to announce at the beginning of this election season, we're not going to buy any politicians. We're not going to buy any representatives like we did last time.
As Art was saying, back in the day when the state was founded, railroads served the sort of same corrupt problem position as APS does now. They controlled a tremendous amount of what farmers got paid and stuff. And so Arizona begins with wanting to reform, right, Art, and get control over basically out-of-state interests that control so much of the state, and we still have a problem with in-state control.
All right, so what are we going to do about it, Art? I mean, we're talking to Art Babbitt. He's running for LD6 House. And the political scenario, I do want to cover this kind of early, is that we got a Democrat running for Senate, Felicia French. We have a Democrat running for House from your neck of the woods. The mayor of Flagstaff.
Had her on, 2 weeks ago?
Yeah. And and you're going to tell me her name, Steve. Coral Evans is running.
Evans, yeah.
And so there is an opening.
Unless you changed your name in the last week.
Yes, okay. And we got Art Babbitt running as an independent. Now, this name of the show is Democratic Perspective. Here we got this independent on. We do this once in a while.
And we're going to have a Republican on it.
We screw up. We have we have Randy Garrison on, bless his heart. You know, he's like the local boy down the street. Oh, that became county supervisor. At least that's the way it is to some of us.
He's the nicest elected Republican in the state of Arizona.
To other people, he's got blood dripping from his teeth, and all he wants to do is develop land, which it could be. Well, we'll find out. He's going to be on again. But this morning we're talking to Art Babbitt as running for the Arizona legislature as an independent.
So, Steve, you've supported Art since before he ran, when he was thinking of running, I think, 4 years ago.
My politics lean Democrat, but I'm more pragmatic. What I'm looking for is smart people who want to do something. When I talk to people who want to run for office, I always ask them, what's your big audacious goal? And if it's just to be a party member and vote with the party, I'm not interested. I want people who want to fix something, do something, make changes. And Art does that. I liked Art. He knows the area. He knows the people. He comes from the people. You've been working up in Flagstaff a lot with a lot of organization. You've got a following. And I like the idea a little bit of having somebody independent down in Phoenix. I think somebody who can throw a vote one way or the other to get good legislation passed. So I'm not against the idea of somebody running it as independent if you can get elected.
Yeah.
Most important thing is getting elected. But I think Art's got a good following. I think he's seen as a middle-of-the-road guy who makes good decisions. So I think he can get elected.
Well, that's Democrats. Go ahead.
What I would ask, Art, come on. We got the organization. Democrats have the organization. You're clearly not a Republican. So why don't you become a Democrat? You know, choose. This is the way it goes. You got two flavors, chocolate, vanilla. You got to buy one. This is it. And he said no. And one of the things he said, well, when's the last time a Democrat got elected in LD6? I said,
I think this next election we're going to see a Democrat.
Well, yeah, I think we are.
Two Democrats.
And that's another point I want to make. 2 points. Well, I want to make Art's point. That is, this is an independence time right now, I think. There is this thirst in the electorate for independent thinking. I'm not going to use the word bipartisanship. That has become, I think, almost meaningless at this point, because there is no such thing. Everybody acts in their party's interest. Mm-hmm. Now, along comes Art Babbitt in the Arizona legislature. He's actually read the Arizona Constitution, by the way, which I don't think...
I haven't read it. U.S. Constitution, yeah, I've read over and over.
So this is a fascinating dynamic. And, as we're going to talk about this morning, he's got a radical idea. I'm going to put this in the R category.
He's a Republican?
No, not that R.
How much?
Well, we're calling it ranked choice voting here in Arizona and other places. In Europe, I believe they call it preference voting, where you take your first, second, third choice, and you mark it on the ballot. And I'm oversimplifying, but Art's going to tell us how it really works.
And why it's important. So just to jump in, you know, so I'm not running as an independent because it is easier or cheaper or any of those.
Definitely not.
I am running because I believe it is really important we call out that the politics of rigid ideology have replaced the politics of problem solving. People pay our salaries, taxpayers pay our salaries for us to go work on the problems that face their communities and their neighborhoods. And I think too often in this country, we are confusing political hostage taking for problem solving. Why am I an independent? Because I've been incredibly well served by that. I have been nimble and opportunistic on who I build coalitions with to move issues forward, whether that is education, whether that is transportation, whether that is regulatory reform, whether that is fiscal policy. I choose to be optimistic and innovative about how I approach politics. You talk about reaching across the aisle. I think what we need to do is start talking about how we stand in the aisle. When there are good, thoughtful, great Democratic ideas, we work with them. When there are thoughtful, good Republican ideas on transportation, on indexing the gas tax, on rural health care that Senator Carter put out, we work with them because they are good ideas that address the problems facing our communities. I think we have built a box in this country that is producing some pretty predictable results. And you know, personally, I'm unwilling to accept that that's how we have to have our political conversations.
So you're going to find – so do you find Republicans – let's get into the nitty-gritty here, because if there's anything grittier or nittier, it's the Arizona legislature. These are a bunch of
– I don't know, Mike. I mean, at the local level, things are pretty nonpartisan. People run nonpartisan for office. It doesn't really matter so much. But, for example, a supervisor, people care what the supervisor's policies are, not really so much whether they're Republican or Democrat.
Well, the government closest to you.
On the local level, everybody runs generically without any kind of party identification. People may know what the party is. And that works when you have local issues to solve. But sometimes by the time we get to the state legislature, all that disappears, and we have a whole lot of Republicans who don't really seem to represent the areas they're supposed to represent. They seem to represent an ideology into the state.
Seem to,
Mike.
Okay.
Well, you don't think they do?
I think they clearly represent an ideology over any human representation,
and like some
any
of the
constituent representation.
Some of the opponents of Art and Felicia and Coral Evans all are ideologically driven. They're so ideologically driven that there's like blinkers on them. But I wanted to go to Klaus because Klaus is here and get his kit. So what do you think about party? You've been active in the Democratic Party, Klaus, for
50 years,
and you're a Democratic committee man up in Montana.
Correct. I wanted to ask Art a question, and the question is this: that this has been a Republican district so far, and it may not be, hopefully will not be this time, and the Democrats have chosen to take the bullet shot and run only a single candidate because, you know, that will obviously enhance their chances. Now you run as an independent candidate. The Republicans, we know, are pretty stalwart, and they're going to vote Republican no matter what, with some exceptions on the margin, obviously. But the Democrats need to crack a whole bunch of independent votes in order to get elected. Don't you think, and you're, I mean, from the impression I have of you, is that your views, when you really split them down, are more on the Democratic than the Republican side. Certainly you're not a Trumper. Don't you think that your candidacy endangers
he left his red magma hat outside.
Yeah, that's also, right.
Don't be too sure.
No. I'm wearing a Taliesin West hat today. Don't you think that your candidacy endangers our attempts, and when I say ours, I mean Democrats sitting around this table with your exception, and it is Democratic perspective. Don't you think that your candidacy endangers Carol Evans?
Coral Evans?
Coral.
Yeah. So here's what I think. I think competition in our electoral system is good. I think too often we have confused the importance of the party at the expense of problem solving and competition in our electoral system. You know, I think one of our challenges is we have an economy and a society that is the marketplace of good ideas, where competition and diversity of perspectives is actually valued. We plug and play into our electoral system, the box we have built, and too often it is the less competition, the better. What I would hope would be that we actually vote, and this will lead right up to ranked choice voting. What I really want to hope is that we get to a place in society where we vote for people based on their ability to enunciate a compelling vision, their practical ability to solve problems, and vote for people who actually resonate with people. I think your characterization of kind of I'm a spoiler is exactly what is wrong with our electoral system, is we don't engender competition, we do not engender that marketplace of good ideas. Doesn't mean I don't have philosophical alliances, especially with much of the social values of the Democratic Party. I do. But I also am an independent, not by accident, by choice, because I have not been impressed with the outputs and the problem-solving capacities of two parties who too often confuse the merit of the idea should be based on the party of origination versus the merit of the idea. And so, you know, I'm under no illusion. I know that there are longtime Democratic folks who
basically, folks, the decision is whether you vote for two. You vote for Art and you vote for Carl Evans for running for the House in our district, or you vote for just one. And some Democrats are going to vote for one. It's called single shotting. It's a way to give your candidate a better chance. And Democrats have to make the choice whether they want to vote for two, in which I think there's a very good chance both Art and Coral will be elected, or they vote for one when there's a better chance that Coral might get elected. It's a strategic thing, Steve. I mean, I wish politics didn't have this aspect of being a game and a competition, but it does. So what's your perspective? You're really independent.
Let me take a different view. I think that the trouble in Arizona is we have a three-party system. The independents are a big force, and they're going to be a bigger force. So in the long view, this idea that someone's either going to be a Democrat or Republican, I think is going to go away a little bit. And I think the third party, these 30-year-olds that are moving here, Maricopa County is the fastest-growing county in America. Arizona is going to be the place where people move because we have affordability here. You're going to be bringing in 30-year-olds. Educated, they want their kids to go to good schools. They aren't going to be joining one party or the other. They're going to be a force of their own. So I think it's important that we open up the doors to independent a little bit. And I think that what's going to happen in the next 5 years, you're going to see the Republican Party become extremely weak. Their base is 80-year-olds and plus. Sun City, no taxes. I don't want to pay for schools. I paid for my kids. I think that they're going to slowly die out. And I think that the demographics are going to change, to become more liberal, and want to raise a place where kids can go to school and affordable housing. So I see a big change.
I hope you're right, but I don't think so. And the problem is you need an organization. I'm sure if you ask Art Babbitt right now, who's sitting right over here, one he misses the most, he would say an organization. Republicans, and I have been told by various officials who are not party affiliated, that in Arizona for the last 20 years, the Democrats are way ahead of the Republicans on organization, which is why the Democratic Party is pouring money into Arizona. They're pouring money into LD6. They're in this case in the form of paid representatives and
young people who are organized.
Young people who are what do they do? What do?
They organize.
They organize. So that's the difference between an independent. Now, Steve Segner here is absolutely correct. There are more independents in Arizona than there are Republicans and Democrats. There is a three-party system.
Yeah, it keeps going back and forth, Mike. Sometimes they are, and sometimes they're a little short of the Republican.
Good point. Yeah. But they can't be denied. Their numbers are so large that they need to be recognized. And so what we're doing today, in part, and certainly Art Babbitt by his candidacy, is recognizing that section of the Arizona electorate called independent.
I guess where I disagree with Art is the Republican. I mean, we've talked to an awful lot of Democratic candidates, and I don't really see narrow-minded partiness in any of them. There's a few, I guess, over the years that
not
we've talked to.
In the party officials.
But, in the party officials. But the candidates themselves, most of them are really open. They're flexible. They have different ideas. I don't see any of them being ideologically rigid. Now, there may be some out who are out there, but we've talked to pretty much everybody who's run for office in Arizona. And we talked, for example, to corporation commissioners. You guys did an interview, Klaus did. And they're pretty flexible, intelligent people who just want to be independent of APS and other forces.
Well, so here's an example. So we just had about 34% of the electorate in Arizona is unaffiliated voters. We are taxpayers, last time I checked. We pay for elections which we are explicitly and expressly prohibited from participating in.
That's right.
The Democratic Party chose to advocate to continue that. Any election that is taxpayer-funded needs to be open to taxpayers. It is the ultimate taxation without representation. And so there is an example where, both parties, the Republicans and Democrats may not agree on many things. There's a few things they are absolutely solidly.
They want to keep the independents out.
Well, they have a system
that makes it difficult, right, Art?
Well, it's not difficult. Difficult would be a step up. So, it is two separate sets of rules and conditions. If you look at what the Electoral Reform Bill of 2016 did, look what a couple things that occurred there. The Republican Party eviscerated the Libertarian Party to be part of a competitive electoral system. That is one piece of it. Another piece that both parties were solidly behind was allowing party dark money as expressly prohibited because it serves their interests. And look, it's not about right or wrong, but we don't have a level playing field. The rules that independents play by are a very different set of rules. I hope we all just can acknowledge that.
So, Art, what do you propose? You propose, you're obviously talking about primaries. So
I'm talking primarily presidential preference election, which is the explicit prohibition that uses taxpayer-funded elections to conduct a party exercise.
All right, and you think that independents should be able to vote in the Republican Party preference? It's a preference election for the Republican Party and Democrats have it too. Mm-hmm. You think that independents should be able to choose whichever party they want to vote in, or they shouldn't have you shouldn't have preferences at all?
If the party wants to have a closed election, have at it. Just don't use taxpayer money to fund an election which we are prohibited in participating in. It's real simple. Most states go to a caucus system.
Most states don't have a caucus system.
Most states have
primaries. In Montana, you can decide when you walk to the polls whether you're going to be a Democrat or Republican that time around.
You can't do that here?
I know you can't do that here.
I know for the preference
and,
you can.
And I always thought that that was not a good idea because the party never knew what their constituents are, but you would disagree with that.
No. If the party wants to do it that way, have at it. Just pay for the election. Don't ask taxpayers who fund those elections. I mean, I would just ask you that. Where else do we allow that scenario to someone to pay into a system
and not be allowed to
and be expressly prohibited?
Not even, be allowed to participate. Yeah, I get that.
But we're talking Republicans about and Democrats, Mike, if you add them up, are the majority of our population, not independents. Well, if you combine the two parties. So
I was talking about by itself. There's more. Okay. We're talking about the presidential preference election, which you must register for by February 18th, and the vote is March 17th. What did I say again? You must register as a Republican or a Democrat because independents can vote. No, it's not funny. By February 18th, and the election is March 17th. For whatever reason, it's a big deal because it's the first time people are going to polls. But it is strictly a preference election, and this confuses people. You know, people like us that are all politically aware. You know, okay, yeah, we got it. It's just a preference election. It's just like a little straw poll when you were in eighth grade. You know, when you're voting.
Not many people vote in it. Actually, I mean, the percentage of people voting is really very small.
It's very low.
Yeah, and that's because. You know, you really have to be involved in one of the parties to have a really strong preference. I mean, if you're a Republican, and this time you Trump, they don't even want to have an election. But if you're a Democrat, people have disagreements. Some people are for even in this room, we have people who support different Democratic candidates, right?
But a half hour into 45-minute show, I want to talk to Art Babbitt. Art Babbitt has been campaigning in our district. He has been in the village of Oak Creek. He has been in Sedona. He knocks on doors. He's talked to voters. What do you hear from the voters of Sedona and the village of Oak Creek?
Yeah, and I think it flows right out of what we just this conversation is are the outputs of our political conversation productive outputs? Do people feel like we are focusing on the core issues that affect their communities, their neighborhoods, and their state? And so, as an independent, it's really I feel like I have a really unique and great opportunity to kind of catch a breath when people come because we are so partisan that saying, hey, my name's Art Babbitt. I'm running for the Arizona House, and I'm running as an independent. I'm running as an independent because I believe the politics of problem solving are more important than the politics of rigid ideology. And so when we do that, we get to have that conversation mm-hmm. about what is going on. You know, I got a couple folks who've been walking with me here, and, you know, we've walked about 1,000 homes in Oak Creek in the last 12 days. And what am I hearing? I'm hearing water. I am hearing education. I am hearing local control. A couple of these things really relate to the level playing field conversation.
Now, are those the same issues, Art, as you hear up in Flagstaff and the rest of the district? I mean, are Sedona and Village of Oak Creek issues, are they similar to what you hear upstate and over to the east?
I mean, first and foremost, I hear what we are doing politically in our conversations is not working. Mm-hmm. And I think people are refreshed. I think people are hungry for a different way of having these conversations. And that's, I think, at its core, it's one of the things that I bring to this candidacy. I think that the risk of trying something different, which is moving out of the Democratic and our box, pales in comparison to the risk of continuing to do what we are doing in terms of our conversations. So when I hear talk about water, for example, water is a huge issue here, the Verde Valley watershed, the groundwater, the surface water issues. It is great to have the conversation. Do local communities have the tools and mechanisms in 2020 that they need to make smart water decisions related to land use, related to growth, related to agriculture? And I will tell you, people understand that we don't have those tools. The last significant groundwater legislation was in 1980, the Arizona Groundwater Management Act. You fast forward 40 years of intensification of climate change and drought, and the rules that we have in place do not allow adequate hydrological stewardship for our groundwater and surface.
And the population of Arizona has
absolutely
what?
Well, you hear everybody talking about water except elected officials. It really is amazing. I mean, everybody realizes that people.
I talk about it.
Okay, well, exactly. Exactly. Well, that is an elected official. But so when
Art is an elected official.
I
want to
say I'm going into my 15th year of local and elected government.
So when you go to the door of people in the village of Oak Creek in Sedona, whether it's you or one of your surrogates back here, do they kind of like fall into your arms and start crying and say, oh, my God, thank you. Thank you for being an independent. We're so tired of partisan politics. I mean, I could see that happening. Or are they a little suspicious saying, well, what do you mean independent?
Mm-hmm. And so what do you actually? Do they say to you, well, what are you actually? What are your positions?
And what do you believe in that really?
What are you really?
But local politics aren't partisan by nature. You know, every district, every Sedona politics are different than Cornville's.
Yes.
And they could care less about Republican or Democrat. They just have the things in their neighborhood that they want to fix or change. And when we start putting labels on that, is growth a Republican issue or a Democratic issue? Is water a Republican issue? No, it's not representation. It's what's happening. Water issues are important to us, but in Pinal County, they look at it another whole way.
Yeah.
So that becomes part of a bigger issue. They don't care about. Right now in the area that I see, we're worried about growth.
Right.
And it's coming, and they don't want it to come because we're a rural area. And the whole America is going through that. We're worrying in this area about housing. Housing's something that's more up in Flagstaff as it is here. But people don't want housing issues changed in their neighborhood. That's not a Democratic issue. That's not a Republican issue. That's a local, independent issue. And I think, like I mentioned before, as people start moving here, they're going to start looking at things as an independent issue, not grouped. Politics came back from the turn of the century because our senators were appointed by the politicians in power. They weren't elected. So you had to have a Democrat or a Republican Senate so that you could represent senators in our national election, in our national area. Those days are gone, I think. I think the power of the party at a local level is diminishing. So I'm not saying we shouldn't be a Democrat or Republican. I'm just saying we have to be pragmatic.
Well, I think it's a good issue, and I think just to remind folks how huge, and I think Art started off by talking how huge this district is with so many different issues. It stretches way to the east and way to the west, and it encompasses wealthy cities, poor cities. Issues where we interviewed the mayor of Cottonwood. We said, what's the big issue in Cottonwood? And he said, poverty.
Mm-hmm. Tim Alinsky.
Tim Alinsky. Mm-hmm. He said, poverty. I mean, that's not what you'd hear in Sedona. So you have to, as I think Art is doing, is adjust to all these different concerns of different people locally, right?
Well, absolutely. But by and large, LD6 is a rural district.
Mm-hmm.
And what we see absolutely unequivocally is the impacts to our educational system, our healthcare system, are amplified in rural settings. Healthcare. We do not have the choice and the capacity of healthcare opportunities for people in rural Arizona. That is why community health centers like North Country, like federally sanctioned are so, so important to allow for the vibrancy and vitality of rural Arizona. Economic development issues. I have been a leader in advocating for renewable energy distributed projects around this region, been very active with the Corporation Commission, getting the rules to build a box that allows us to serve two interests. Addressing climate change by taking that excess capacity as coal goes away with renewable energy systems and providing meaningful economic development opportunities for rural Arizona.
While we're developing the economy and while we're finally dealing with climate change on the local level, headline in yesterday's Republic, Adult Protective Services. And this is what I see, by the way,
what was the headline,
in
Mike?
My work, that the state is not caring for its old people. That is, old people are vulnerable to all sorts of things. So DES, the Department of Economic Services,
Security,
has divisions. One of them is the Department of Developmental Disabilities, and which is we want to talk about
you
funding.
Work.
I mean, exactly. We want to talk about Adult Protective Services and Child Protective Services. We do want to talk about both ends. But the story yesterday, banner headline in the Arizona Republic, full story, five columns above the fold. I'm doing the press talk here because that's a big deal. They thought it was a big story. You get that story, maybe two columns in the corner. No, five columns across the fold, banner headline. That was a big deal.
Is it worse in rural areas, Art, you think, than in the city?
Yes. The article pointed that out. Absolutely. And a lot of it has to do with funding and then the sources of funding. Adult long-term care system. The adult protective services, child protective services.
Aren't they funded through tax dollars?
They're not funded adequately. Uh-huh. And in rural areas, then one of the big issues is transportation. Mm-hmm. You have the funding. You have a greater need in rural areas for transportation, for all of those things, for people to get to the adults who need the services, and for the adults that need the services to get to that service.
You know, another area where that kind of urban-rural divide plays out really pronounced in Coconino, Navajo, Yavapai, and Gila County is in behavioral health and community well-being. I am part of the executive leadership of Stronger Is One, which is a suicide prevention community mental health consortium, and it is incredible to see the suicide rates in Coconino, Gila County, Navajo County up to 3 times the national average. It just speaks to that rural-urban divide where there is not adequate clinical services for young people to make sure that what plays out in our headlines, we are working to reduce that. And I got it is a big deal. We have got to understand, as we do in mm-hmm. business, those of us who are in business, and not just those of us in business, but if we want outcomes, we have got to be willing to make investments. This notion that you can have an excellence in education system without investments is inane. I have been a small business owner for many years. When I want outputs, I have got to make investments. Sometimes that's monetary. Sometimes that's just capacity and prioritization. But this notion that you can get something for nothing is really not serving us well.
Steve? You know, it's interesting. We can sit here for days and talk about all the things that need to be fixed in town. And what it comes down to is financing. And we have one party that just believes that tax dollars are a waste, that somehow we can always go back and improve the bureaucracy to save that money they need to do these things. It's just not true. We need to tax people. We need to pay taxes to do these things. And somehow it's wrong to say that. People say, oh, my God, how can you say you raise taxes? But that's how it works. And we have to get away from this mentality in Arizona that we are a low-tax state. Now, I'm not saying we should tax people and do willy-nilly things, but we have to tax people fair enough that we can handle these kinds of problems. I was in Tahiti a couple weeks ago. And it was interesting. In Tahiti, they have free health care. They have free dental care. School is free. And if you're homeless, they build you a home. Now, that's all they do, but they figured the rest of it you can handle. If a little tiny place in the middle of nowhere can have free health care and schooling, and we can't do it in Arizona because we're scared to raise our taxes, something's wrong.
I post every day that 32 out of the 33 developed countries, in other words, free health care is so complicated that only 32 out of the 33 developed countries on this planet have it. And until the USA has it, I will be
making
that. It
won't be 33.
But Trump said it's complicated. And if we can go to the moon, we can certainly put a system in like France's or Canada. I talk to Canadian people all the time, and I always ask them, how do you like your health care? They love it. Now, they say there's niches to it, but you know, as a whole, it works. So don't get me started on health care. I'm sorry.
Right. Well, let's go to Klaus.
I was just going to add to what Steve was saying. I mean, the Finns are just about the happiest people on Earth. Yeah. Their tax rate is 60% on average. They don't bitch about it because they think, as far as they're concerned, they're getting their money's worth.
Well, take an American tax rate of, say, 32% plus 7% for state. Add $1,000 per person for health care. You're at 50-55%. They actually have a better system, cheaper than we do, because we're paying it out of pocket. Whether you pay it out of pocket or whether it's taxed, it's the same out of
yeah, the economists say it's almost like a poll tax. There's a tax for the the way that our health care is organized is so disorganized that people effectively pay $1,000, $2,000
a
person.
We have an insane for-profit system. Who nobody has the kind of profit that they make in health care except the USA. This level of profit. But the Republicans would say the Finns are happy because of the price of vodka. And that's what keeps them happy.
16% of the top 1% are doctors, for example, in the U.S. It's hard to support a system that pays them that well. I mean, I want them to be paid well, but 16% of the top 1% come from medicine.
All right, I knew this was going to happen. There's 5 minutes left, and ranked choice voting takes 2 hours to explain.
Yes, wow. More than 2 hours.
I did the basics. I did the bait. You vote for first, second, third choice. And Mark's going to say, this is simple. You got an election. You let anybody that wants to run. They fill out the paperwork. And then you simply vote for
them. All right, let's let Art explain ranked choice voting in the last 4 minutes we have.
But while we're having this talk, because I'm not letting it go.
Oh, you're not.
But there's little things in ranked choice vote. There's little things.
Unlike our current system, which has no dings. Yes, yeah, great comparison. Yeah. So anyway,
what the hell is it, Art?
Well, let's talk about why we should ask the question: is the box we have built for our electoral system producing good results? And when we utilize that box, what are the questions we're asking? We had a great example today of people who are in an electoral system. Who are viewed just by their presence and enunciation of a vision that's outside of a D or an R as a spoiler. We need to construct a system which is not rocket science, which is done in the state of Maine. New York City just passed it by 74%. The state of Massachusetts is going to be voting on it in November. 4 cities in Utah are in trial mode. The city of Santa Fe, Oakland, Minneapolis, that is based on ranked choice voting.
California has some version of it?
No, they have an open primary system, which is a very different beast.
Okay.
But what ranked choice voting serves to engender is the elimination of the spoiler. We actually want people to participate in elections because they have a vision to enunciate and a compelling case to be made, not whether they have a Republican or Democratic label. It would engender libertarians to participate in the conversation, which, by the rec, we should be asking about what is the right size of government in certain conversations. I think that's really important. So ranked choice voting.
If you're going to mention libertarians, you got to mention Greens, please.
Well, I think haven't they been eliminated? Are they still a party?
I don't think so.
I think they've lost their status So anyway, let's go back to why we're having ranked choice voting, because it will engender that. It allows you to rank your candidates in order of preference. It is based on the simple premise that in order to be elected, you need to have 50% plus one vote to be called a winner. We do it all the time. People are elected with 30 and 40% of the vote. That is not a coalition of bringing people together to unify around people who are willing to do the work. And I just want to, you know, as this movement, this is a citizen-driven piece of how we take back some of our conversations around our political discussions. Always awesome to come in here. Thanks very much.
I like it. We've been talking to Art Babbitt, Coconino County Supervisor and candidate for LD6 House. We want to thank the Democrats of the Red Rocks for giving us all the money. We want to thank other people for supporting Democratic Perspective. We want to make sure that you register to vote in the presidential primary by February 18th. We want to make sure you vote in that election March 17th. And it's going to be a really interesting year.
Art has a website, right?
Art has a website, ART4Arizona, artforaz.com, Art Babbitt 2020.
Go to Art's website if you want to find out further information, right, Art, your position papers.
Yep. And you should have whet your appetite by now. And don't forget, you can go to VVID.org and listen to this show and all our shows. VVID, Verde Valley Independent Democrats.org. And you know what? You're going to find a donate button there. I'll bet you find a little donate button on Art's. So if you like what you heard this morning, please, please, please send some money to Art, but send us more. VVID.org. VVID.org. Democratic Perspective.
I agree with that.
See you next week.
Send us the money.
listening to Democratic Perspective, brought to you by the Verde Valley Independent Democrats, a weekly talk show focusing on the political issues facing the Verde Valley, Sedona, Northern Arizona, and our nation at large. Catch us every Monday morning after the 8 a.m. news, right here on AM 780 KAZ. It's beautiful out there, folks. Have a great day.